Good afternoon. I don't know how many of you do it, but my wife had lymphoma. Oh, she took about 6 treatments. They say you don't die of it, but she had a big lump on her here and underneath her arm, and they left, and she went back here just recently, and it still left. And they say you won't die of it, but they don't know when it'll come back. So, but some of it is a lot worse than that. So, very fortunate that she has been at least corrected right now for the time being. Now, we just finished celebrating July the 4th. It's called the Declaration of Independence. That's when the United States and its 13 colonies became independent from the rule of England and became America. Now, I kept watching the news for somebody to tell me what this day really meant. And I never heard anything come out. All I heard about was fireworks and celebration. One cartoonist I read, it said, ask a man, what does this day mean to you? He said, a four-day vacation. That's what the July the 4th meant to him, a four-day vacation. So the cartoonist realized that most of the people do not know what this day represents, and especially they don't know what we understand it represents. I want to show you this afternoon what really happened on this day in 1776, and also show you this was a prophecy being fulfilled that was made to Abraham. So maybe some of us, even in the church, doesn't realize that. The United States had 13 colonies, and they became independent from the rule of England, and they became America. This was called the birth of the nation. They received freedom, and they received liberty. And Patrick Henry said, give me liberty or give me death. They've been under sort of a political rule, and he would rather die than go back underneath the political rule. So we have liberty, and we've taken advantage of that liberty. And we're not in the shape that we were back then. But it was really like a beginning instead of a birth. Even though it was a nation, it was just the beginning of a great nation. It had to grow and become the greatest nation in the world that God promised to Abraham. So 1776 is the birth date of the United States. But in 1783 could also be reckoned the American birth date. That's when she won her independence, 7 years later. Before this date, America didn't actually own any property. They became independent. But 70 years later, the United States owned all of the land that made up the 48 states. No other country ever gained that much choice, fertile land in such a short period of time, in 77 years. Other nations should have begun to see that God was working with this nation. In fact, I was aiming to bring the book, but I didn't. It was written by Raymond McNair. I think it was Raymond McNair. Under the America by America Prospering. And there was a Japanese emperor, Japanese politician that said God was not fair when he gave all this land and everything to the United States and shortchanged Japan. So other nations did see it. Now, we didn't fight to attain all of this land. God gave it to us. We paid for it, but we didn't have to fight for it. God poured out all of these blessings on the United States in 77 years. He gave us the most choice land on the planet, on the whole planet, to grow crops. From our northern border, which is Canada, where it's too cold, on the southern border, it's too hot. We were given all of the fertile land that would produce, and I'll get into some of the statistics later on, on how much it could produce. This country has a lot to celebrate, but they didn't celebrate that I ever. I found one article, and I'm going to read it to you in a little bit. They don't even realize, and they don't know, or they don't care. And I have a young fellow that works for me that's 24 years old, and he doesn't think. He said, freedom of religion. He said, that means any religion. And I keep talking to him, no, it doesn't mean every religion. It means the religion of this Bible. And I've got a newspaper article that I read to him, and I'm going to show you in a little bit. Now, We, God's called out ones, have a lot more to celebrate and to rejoice about. Three things God's people can rejoice about. First, we understand this birth of this nation is a prophecy fulfilling a promise that God had made Abraham. Now, turn to Genesis 48. And it's amazing how the religions of the world understand the promise of Jesus Christ coming, but they don't see the promises that was made to Abraham as far as being a nation and so forth. In 48:16, now before that, Israel was going to lay his hands on Ephraim and Manasseh. And he laid his right hand on Ephraim and his left hand on Manasseh. And Joseph said, no, that's wrong. Manasseh was the firstborn. He said, put your right hand on Ephraim, on Manasseh. And in verse 16, then the angel which redeemed me from all evil, blessing the lads, let my name be on them, the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into the multitude in the midst of the earth. But he's going to bless Ephraim more than he was Manasseh. And then look at verse 19. And Joseph tried to stop that. And in verse 19, about the hand switching. And in verse 19, and his father refused and said, no, I know it, my son. He also shall become a great people. Now it's talking about Manasseh. But truly, the younger brother shall be greater than he, and this seed shall become a multitude of nations. Talking about Ephraim and Manasseh becoming a multitude of nations. And his brother would come out and be a great nation. Now, our nation has fulfilled this prophecy, but our nation is a great nation. Our church has always put out a booklet on this called the U.S. Britain in Prophecy. And the church puts one out on this too. But if some of you younger people would like to get one of the older books that was put out by Mr. Armstrong, it goes in there and tells you all the statistics, how much land we had compared to other nations. But I'm not going to read that to you today. I thought about it, but you people get upset when I get to talking too long, so I thought, well, I'll leave that one out here. Now, in this book, there is a statement that says, this is one of the strongest proof that God exists. And this Bible is inspired by that God. The strongest proof put in this book, and we just read that there will be a multitude of nations, Ephraim will become a multitude of nations, and the United States will become this great nation. Now, you shouldn't accept the Bible as the divine word of God by blind faith. You should prove it. The Bible says prove all things. Well, let's prove some of this. I'm going to read to you, instead of reading the book to you, I'm going to read you an article here. It says, prophesied to happen to the United States and Britain. This was written in October of 1954 by Mr. Armstrong. Excuse me. And here's what he says. The most overwhelming modern fulfillment of Bible prophecy in proof of its divine origin and inspiration is the sudden sprouting forth of two nations, or, more properly, of a nation and a company of nations. From the comparative obscurity and impositions, it would come to world dominance, unprecedented wealth and power in the past 150 years. Now, it also, in Leviticus 26, we don't want to turn there, but it quoted that they were right there, there's 12 tribes. They hadn't split yet. Beginning in verse 14, they disobeyed. Israel disobeyed. God warned them that they would become the slaves of other nations and go into national punishment, the birthright blessing being withheld for a duration of 2,520 years, which is in verse 18. Now, you have to study that a little bit to see it, but if you want to prove it, you can go get this booklet from Mr. Armstrong wrote. You can go up on the web and get it. I get a lot of articles. That's where I got this with that. For a while, the Israelites went God's way, but not long. Soon they were adopting the customs of the Gentile nations around them. In Solomon's death, Israel rejected her king, and Judah split off from Israel in loyalty to King Rehoboam, this splitting the 12 tribes into two nations. So we have Israel and we have Judah. And Judah is the Jews, not the Israelites. They are Israelites, but they're not the 10 nations. The 10 nations came out to be the United States and the British Commonwealth in prophecy. Now, I want to get the date here. It says, it must be emphasized that the birthright promises could be fulfilled only in Ephraim and Manasseh, could not be inherited until the end of the 2520 years. By this 2520-year punishment, God punished the people for their sins, and he kept his promise to Abraham. The promises then would be fulfilled only after the duration of the punishment. Now, the house of Israel went into Assyria captivity in 721 B.C., which is easy to prove. But therefore, it could not come into this national wealth and resource the birthright until the period beginning 2520 years later, which was in 1800. So, again, that's another amazing prophecy. You don't have to prove that, but I'm going to prove to you this Bible is inspired and how much we should be rejoicing over July the 4th and not just having fireworks and so forth and family. And that's all important, but most of the thing important is the fact that we should be celebrating that this is a prophecy and we've been called out to preach some things in it, and I'll show you that in a little bit. Now, the United Kingdom at that time consisted only of the British Isles, a very small part of India and Canada, and a few little islands. The United States consisted of only the original 13 colonies and three added states. Neither possessed any great wealth. But beginning in 1800, these two little nations began to sprout and to grow into a vast national riches and power which no people has ever grew. Soon the United States grew into the greatest single nation on earth. Britain's empire spread around the world until the sun never set upon her possessions. And I remember growing up, the sun never set on the British Empire. Whenever it went down one place, it came up on another nation. They were the strongest nation at that time. Now, the British Commonwealth of Nations. Now remember this, you're going to prove this Bible is right. The British Commonwealth of Nations is the only company of nations in all Earth's history. So all you got to do is go to a history teacher and say, where is a group of nations, a multitude of nations that just comprise one nation? Only Britain did it. Could we be so exactly fulfill the specifications of the birthright and not be the birthright people? Now, what about Manasseh? The proof that we are, now they go through a lot of other things, but mainly you don't even have to know all of that. I like the KISS method. Just keep it as simple as I can keep it, because I'm not real highly intelligent. So I need, when I understand prophecy, I need it broke down to it's easy to understand. The proof that we are Manasseh is overwhelming. Manasseh was to separate from Ephraim. So here's a nation that should come out of the Commonwealth of Nations and become the greatest, wealthiest single nation of Earth's history. We alone have fulfilled this prophecy. So there's some other things here that I can read to you, but here's an interesting one by Charles M. Schwab as a steel magnate. Before the Massachusetts bankers in 1921, he said, our United States has been endowed by God with everything to make it the foremost industrial and commercial nation of the world. And we have lost it. We did have it. But here is Charles Schwab saying, we have everything. He looked and seen how fortunate we were. No other nation or a combination of nations do or can possess these blessings of birthright. For we hold more than two-thirds and nearly three-fourths of all raw materials, resources, and wealth of the entire round earth. See, that could be proven. At one time, we had more than two-thirds and nearly three-fourths of all the raw materials, all the resources, of the wealth of this entire round earth, and all other nations combined didn't have that much. That's how much we were blessed with, and especially when you put England in with it, because there's an article, I didn't mention it before, it said that England and the United States would own all the sea gates, and they owned them all, which is another proof. You want to prove the Bible is right. You don't want to be in this church and having to live by every word of God and not know and have the faith and the confidence of what God's telling you. Here is the sea gates that they were supposed to own would be Gibraltar, Suez, Singapore, Panama Canal, and so forth. Now, I can remember when Carter gave away the Panama Canal. When I came into church, I knew we was going to lose our sea gates, which I came into church in 1968, somewhere along in there. And we hadn't gave the Panama Canal away yet. But I've seen that happen. I've also seen when Germany was laying in ashes in 1946, I came to church in 68, somewhere between 68 and 70. I heard a tape by Mr. Armstrong that said, and it was made back in 1946 and 47, long in there. He said, Germany is laying in ashes, but it will grow to be the greatest nation in the European empire and lead a 10-nation political empire. And have you been watching the news? I mean, here, he prophesied when Germany, God revealed it, would rise and be the leader of a 10-nation European empire. Now, here they were defeated. When they grew and then there was a wall down the middle, I'd have gave up between Germany and East Germany. He said the wall would come down. It wasn't Reagan that, you know, that said the wall would come down. Mr. Armstrong said it would come down when the wall went up. He said the nation had to join and be together. So there's many prophecies that you can prove that this Bible is inspired. July the 4th is one of them. It's very important that you understand that this is a birth of a promise of a nation that was promised to Abraham. Now, if I don't lose all my notes, we'll see where I'm at now. Now, you need to prove the Bible is correct. Now, if you look at the Protestant world, I believe the Bible was right when I was in the Methodist Church. But I believe that what they told me is what it said. I got in trouble when I read it. Then I would go to them and I said, well, now, wait a minute, what's this mean? It says, when you give money, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. The Methodist Church was building a new church. I was a part of it, and they sent me a letter, and if I would have gave $50 more money or whatever it was, they'd move my name up on one row of the church. I sent them the $50. Then I read the Bible. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. If you want to be rewarded by God, you don't tell anybody. You do it in secret. If you do it to be seen of man, then you got your reward. So I went, I might have told you some of this before, but I went and told them, take a name off of that booth. That row. So they took it off. And a few months later, somebody came up and said, boy, that was nice of you to donate all that furniture to Dr. Fribley's office, who was a pastor. I said, I didn't donate any furniture to Dr. Fribley's office. So I ran down there. They could not let that go. They had a big sign on the wall, donated by Gordon and Jackie Broccoli. I said, take it down. You know. So finally I got them convinced that I did not want my name on anything. Now, it was nice when I gave the 50 to get my name moved up, but I wanted to be rewarded by God, not by man, because my reward then would have been on that name. So we really need to prove, and we need to prove all things. Now, most churches, just about all churches, they believe the Bible is literal and right, and then they teach what that church teaches. And if you start reading the Bible, you will find out that that isn't the way it happens. Now, a lot of our people must have done the same thing in 1995. Half of them left. They didn't believe, they didn't know what the Bible said. I mean, you have to know what it says, and then when Tikach started telling you it said something else, you had the verses in your mind, you had the mind of God. So have you proven the Bible is inspired by God? You need to if you're going to be in this church. If you have, you'll be reading and believing what it says. You'll let the Bible interpret the Bible. You will live by the Word of God in joy, knowing that because all God's laws will work for your benefit. Now, our founding fathers, in July of 1776, they believed God existed and the divine authority was blessing this nation. And in the Declaration of Independence, I want to read you something from Paul Harvey. How many of you know Paul Harvey? Yeah. Now, I didn't realize this till today, but I gave this sermon in 2002, and I had this article in Fort Wayne. And then it happened to be the same way. It was right after July the 4th, so I got the sermon out. But this morning, I looked at this newspaper, and it says 1992. So I had this article from 1992 to 2002, and this is what Paul Harvey said. Religion had a place in the nation's founding. And I think it was printed on July the 3rd, 1992. So here's a guy that had something to say about it. And as I looked and looked, when is somebody going to talk about our birth of our nation instead of firecrackers and all that and a four-day vacation? In our nation, Declaration of Independence, there is a significant declaration of dependence also. Not just independence, but dependence. Our nation's 4th of July celebrations have tended to focus on the world's freedom. Yet even as our nation's founders offered their lives and fortunes to win our fledgling nation freedom from British rule, in that same eloquent document, they sought the guidance and the blessings of the Almighty. They appeared to the supreme judge of the world, rectitude, which means God's standard of integrity. Our founders proclaimed themselves free to do whatever they might want. Hardly. They decided themselves free to do what they ought to be doing. They prayed thy kingdom come. They bound themselves to God's will, and that is when, in an instant, as historical time is measured, our 6%, now get this, of the planet's population began to accumulate more than half of all the world's goods. The United States. Can you see our founding fathers back then? You received all this land just given to you, and you're going to become a great nation, and 6% of the people own half of all the wealth in the country, in the world. You can see why Schwab said that you should never go broke, but we have. We're the largest debtor nation in the world. And if you want to read your prophecies, and you want to know if that's a prophecy or not, it says we'll become a debtor nation if we don't obey God's laws. And we are the largest debtor nation in the world at this time. They bound themselves to God's will. They believed in certain things. I'm going to read something else besides here. I finally found something in the paper. Last day, July the 4th. In God we trust. Now, I want to read you what four different men said that became presidents. And I showed this to the young fellow that worked for me. I come in to show you that this nation was built on believing the God of this Bible. Freedom of religion doesn't mean that you can have another religion, but doesn't mean to rely upon God. President George Washington said, "It is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and to humbly implore His protection and His favor." And that was George Washington. Now, John Adams says, "We have no government armed with the power capable of contending with human nature." There's no government. You've got to have a dictator to do that. Our religion was set up, our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. The freedom is by the people and for the people. You have to have a dictator when you control everything else. They intended for the people to govern themselves. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. This nation will not work if we don't have the morals. And do the peoples have the morals, or do we have political correctness? Do we have, whatever you think's right? And I read an article not long ago that said in my day, everybody basically lived by the laws of God. But in the last 10 or 20 years, we said that you make your own decisions. You know, whatever is political right. And then I said, you made yourself your own God. Instead of following the Bible, you young people that go out and make your own decisions, you become your own God. And then our government made the laws. This man had a baby and he wasn't married, and the government paid for it. And they'll pay for another one. So he didn't get married right away. He had another baby, so the government would pay for it. So our government has been paying for us to commit adultery, commit fornication, to commit sin, and we're losing all the things that have been promised to us. And that we, and it also tells you that in Leviticus. If you don't do these things, then you're going to pay the penalty. Okay. Now, the second reason for us to rejoice. The first reason is we understand the prophecy that this nation, and when it was the birth of the nation, was promised to Abraham, and it came to grow to be the greatest, wealthiest nation in the world. Second reason, this freedom from actually religious domination and from a political system created a climate for God to call people and to the church to preach the true gospel to the world. And that's what our church is trying to do. That's what Mr. Armstrong was doing, is preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God to the world. The gospel of the kingdom of God, which also included telling this world that we, Israel, Ephraim and Manasseh is the ten nations. The gospel of the kingdom of God. It had been suppressed in other countries that people lived, since the first or second century. And the reason it couldn't be preached because the political religious environment wasn't allowed to preach that. But God didn't want it preached then. Because it says when the gospel of the kingdom is preached to the world, Christ is going to return. And is our gospel being preached to the world now? United is doing its share. Meredith is doing its share. Fleury is doing its share. It might be being preached more now through all the breakoffs than it was through Mr. Armstrong. I don't know that to be a fact. I just said it's a possibility that could happen. But because of the political climate, it couldn't be done. Most of our forefathers believed God had a hand in the birth of this nation and the continued growth of the nation. God has continued to make this come a great nation. And then Patrick Henry said in 1772, you know, give me liberty or give me death. He said, God presides over the decisive nations. John Adams said, you're going to celebrate this solemn by a devotion to God. And George Washington, I read you what he said. Now, we don't want even to say the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag and use the words under God in it. Now, this isn't something new. This is what I said in 2002 when I was up in Fort Wayne. We couldn't say the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag and put under God in it. This nation is rejecting God more and more and is reaping the results. We are called to preach the gospel of the kingdom to the world during the time of this nation's freedom. This gospel also includes letting the United States know it is Israel with its blessings if we repent. We can still do it. But if everybody here knows that Ephraim is England and multitude of nations, do all you young people know that? I would get to learn it because it's really important. Prophecy proves God exists. Prophecy proves this Bible is right. Prophecy proves you're in the right church if you understand prophecy. God has been revealing to this nation and to Britain that they are Israel. This birth of this nation with its wealth and power, this freedom of religion, also created a condition which hasn't existed before than any other nation, including England, that God could raise up a church that could preach the gospel of the kingdom to the world, as foretold in Matthew 24. I'm not going to turn there, but in Matthew 24 it says that when the gospel of the kingdom will be preached to the world, then Christ will come. So the gospel has never been preached completely. Now, Mr. Armstrong thought it was preached at one time, and of course we think once it's preached it ought to happen right now. Well, God might let 5 or 10 years go in between. But the gospel has to be preached to the world. And most of us, I never heard of the kingdom of God until I started listening to Mr. Armstrong or came into the church. I thought the kingdom of God was within you. That's what the Methodist Church taught. I looked in there and I couldn't find it. So I decided it must be something else. It didn't say we were to convert, but as a witness. Why isn't our job to convert the world? How is God going to convert the world? or show the world that God is God. Does he have a plan? Is it through the nation of Israel? Turn to Deuteronomy 4. To start with in verse 1, "Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and the judgments which I teach you, for to do them that you may live." In verse 6, "Keep therefore and do them," and listen what's going to happen, "for this is your wisdom." If we keep the commandments, the statutes and judgment, if Israel had did that, "your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of all nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, sure, this great nation is a wise and understanding nation." So God said, if you will do this, Israel, back in the Old Testament, could have showed the world that God is God. But they didn't keep the commandments. They broke them, went into captivity for 2,520 years. Then God raised up Israel again. And we have the opportunity to do the same thing. In verse 7, it says, here's what they'll say. "What nation is there so great, who has God so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that has these statutes and judgments and righteousness and all this law?" So if they would do it, God said other nations would look and say, God is with you. And when our country was being brought up, people should look around. Even somebody in Japan did say it, and so did Schwab, and said, your nation is wealthy. The guy in Japan said, well, God wasn't favored. He favored us and shorted Japan. Now, nations would know that he was God, but Israel didn't do that, went into captivity. Israel became a multitude of nations and a great nation. Israel, the United States, and Britain had another opportunity to prove to the world that God exists. This opportunity came through the Declaration of Independence. That was a nation that God was building Israel again to preach the gospel to the world, to live by God's laws. He once again reinstored New Israel, this time as a great nation, as a company of nations. Manasseh was free of political oppressions, was free of religious oppressions. There were no countries around the United States. Did you ever stop and think about this country? When it was made, you had Canada to the north, Mexico to the bottom, and no nations around us. God had us protected by the oceans. God had us protected with all the wealth he gave us. Do you realize that? And did you rejoice about this on July the 4th? Or did you think about the fireworks? Yeah. I rejoiced, but I was studying the sermon. So I have an advantage. This grew to a great nation in 77 years. And you imagine that. Look up any other country. Look up what they did. They did not grow that fast in any of them. Now, the world should have seen that God exists through the birth of this nation, and by England and being a multitude of nations and ours being a great nation. The sun never set on that empire. And then that was a comment that I write here with the Japanese one. Deuteronomy 4 would have been fulfilled if this country would have continued to rely upon God's, what our forefathers said. Even though they didn't keep the Sabbath, if they would have continued to do what they were doing. When I was young, I knew it was wrong to steal and cheat and anything. And I think I mentioned this the last time, but now if something goes wrong, it's not your kid's fault. I got kicked off of the bus. I rode a bus home, and I was supposed to be. My dad and mom knew I'd be home at 11:15 or what. I got kicked off the bus a little bit early. I ran all the way home. My dad would have never said the bus driver would have been wrong, and I was a good kid, you know, considering. But it's just the fact that today, you know, and when my son had I won't tell you the problem he had in school. And I went to the teacher, first grade teacher, and talked to him. And she said, you think you're... I said, my son didn't draw this picture. I want to know what he drew back. She said, nobody ever comes. And when my son is born in 1957, so he would have... this has been about 5 or 6 years later. Even then, people went and said their kids didn't do anything. She was surprised that I came and thought my son would draw. She agreed. He wasn't that good an artist then. He's an artist now. But she agreed then. But I knew he would do something. All you got to do is look back when you're young. Any of you want to tell me about your upbringing, what you did, what you shouldn't have done, what you hid, and what mom didn't know about? You know, we all have it. Let's turn to Deuteronomy 8. But God warned Israel, and God has warned us. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 10. When thou hast eaten, and you're full, and then you, and then, let me get this up here. When thou hast eaten, and are full, and thou art blessed with the Lord thy God for the good land which thou hast given thee, beware that you don't forget the Lord thy God, and can quit keeping his commandments, and his judgments, and his statutes. So when we get wealthy, we forgot the Lord our God. We did this, and Israel did that. Then in verse 17, and thou shalt say in thy heart, my power and my might has gotten me this wealth. Who do we think got us this wealth? You know, do we as a nation think that God gave us all these things? They could look and see it is if they wanted to read history. In verse 18, for thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth the power to get wealth, that he may establish the covenant which he swore his fathers in that day. Now, God told us to beware. We receive this blessing. Don't forget where you got them from. But we forgot like Israel of old did. We haven't followed his laws. Did God foretell what he would do if we forgot? Turn to Isaiah 5:1. I'll find it here in a minute. In Isaiah 5:1, it says, now I will sing to my well-beloved song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved has a vineyard and it's been fulfilled. Look at verse 7. Who is the vineyard? For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the man of Judah his pleasant plant. Then look down to verse 4. He says, what could I have done more to my vineyard that I have not done unto it? So here's a prophecy that's going to happen to Israel. And God said, what more could I have done? You know, I gave you, you can look back at Israel of old and you can look at the Israel today. The sun never set on the Britain's empire. We owned all the sea gates of the world. 6% of the people owned 50% of the wealth. What more could God have done? He says, wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, it's bringing forth wild grapes. And today, that's what we're doing. And now, go to, I will tell you in verse 5, what I will do to my vineyard, I will take away the hedge thereof. If we didn't live by God's laws, God's going to start taking away the hedge of he had around us. And he did have a hedge around us. There's another thing. Well, I got a mess up here. Another thing that happened, when Israel became to grow in power in 1800, the British defeated Napoleon. Napoleon was a head of the European Empire. And when he went down, he defeated, in 1814, he was defeated by the British. And in your Bible, it says there are going to be seven kings. Five are fallen and one is. And that was hit. One is was under Hitler. And one is to come that we're looking for. But Napoleon was number five. When he went down, so did the Catholic Church. If you study history, Charlemagne was crowned by the Pope. Otto the Great was crowned by the Pope. But when the Pope came to crown Napoleon, he took the crown, turned his back on him, crowned himself. He was the leader now. But it's still one of the resurrections of the Holy Roman Empire. But when he went down, the Catholic Church went down. And do you know, most of you don't know, the Catholic Church is pretty big right now, isn't it? In 1933, the Catholic Church and Hitler made a concordat which gave his government an outward semblance of legitimacy. In 1936, Mussolini declared the resurrection of the Roman Empire, claiming succession to Imperial Rome. So Mussolini said it was a Roman Empire. Now, he actually freed the Catholic Church. They lived in seclusion then. A lot has happened. I haven't lived here. Well, I lived during that, but I wasn't too smart in 1933. I was 3 years old, so I didn't know that was happening. But somebody else will do all the research for you, and you can follow that research. God will show the world and every person who ever lived that he is God through Israel when he sets up his kingdom. Now, what's the third thing we can rejoice about? Not only is this climate right to call people into God's church to preach the gospel of the kingdom to the world, it's also the time of God adding children to his family. Probably more now in the United States than any other time. We're being trained to be kings and priests in the kingdom of God. Revealing to us the mysteries of the plan of God that has been hidden to the world. God has been calling more people from this great nation than any other time in the world. We can rejoice and live in this great nation, which is free from political and religious control, and are being called to be sons of God in the kingdom of God. So we have three things we can rejoice about. The first one is the fact that July the 4th was the birth of the nation. A prophecy was fulfilled, and we should be rejoicing over it. The second one is the climate was right that we could help preach the gospel to the world. The third one is the big one. We're being called to be sons of God in the kingdom of God. And with that, we should turn to 1 John 3:2. This is a verse that today we was talking, and it's one of my favorite verses. It says, "Behold, in verse 1, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him." In Philippians 4:20, I say, "This vile body will be changed like it is glorious body." So one of the big things that we should be rejoicing over is that right now we're being called to be sons of God in the kingdom of God. Once Christ returns and resurrects his called out ones and changes the ones that are alive, how will he reveal himself to the world? Let's turn to Jeremiah 33. We'll see, God never did change his plan. In verse 7. And I'll read 7, 8, and 9. "And I will cause the captivity of Judah and the captivity of Israel to return, and will build them as the first. I will cleanse them." Now, we're getting to the point now. Old Testament Israel had a chance to show that God was the God of the world. If they kept his commandments, they would have looked at it and said, "Look how blessed this nation is." We had an opportunity. Even nations did see that God was working with us. And we still have an opportunity if we can get this gospel out and preach it to them. But if it doesn't appear to be working, how are they going to finally be done? In verse 8, "And I will cleanse them from all their iniquity, for they have sinned against me," talking about Israel. "I will pardon all their iniquities, and whereby they have transgressed against me." In verse 9, "And it shall be a name of joy, a praise and an honor before all nations of the earth." So when Christ comes back, he's going to bring Israel out of captivity, put them in the land that he promised his fathers, and they're going to be a praise and an honor before all the nations of the earth, which shall hear all of the good I do unto them. Remember Deuteronomy 4? which shall hear, and they hear all the statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding nation. God is going to show the world through Israel that they will be prosperous, they will grow, he wipes away their sins, and whatever it says, and they shall be a name of joy, a praise, and an honor before all the nations of the earth, which shall hear all the good that I do unto them. And they shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and for all the prosperity to it. Now, I'm going to just quote it to you, Ezekiel. You don't have to turn there. Ezekiel 37. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord who does sanctify Israel, when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them. So we're to preach the gospel now. We're to be sons of God. We're to take part in the resurrections and have a body like Jesus. And when we bring Israel out of captivity, the world is going to be showing that God is God. But it's going to be done that because Israel is going to live by God's laws and all of his statutes. So it'll be a time that God is finally going to save the world. And in Ezekiel 39:7, so I will make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not let them pollute my name anymore. And the heathen shall know that I am God, the Holy One of Israel. So on this July the 4th, it's just passed. When you think about it in the future, when it comes around, you need to rejoice because you understood it was a prophecy. It has been fulfilled. England and the United States has fulfilled the prophecy. Now, we're not living by God's laws. And he took his hedge away from us. And we don't have the protection we used to have. But we still can get this gospel of the kingdom out to the world. It still can be changed. So sometimes that's not stressed enough. We want to be sure that we help this church get the gospel of the kingdom out to the world, and be also that we'll take part in the first resurrection and be in the kingdom of God. So enjoy thinking about July the 4th.